And then the Bible scripture also talks about the fact that your steps are ordered and numbered. So God has been leading you all the way up to this point today. So let's all sing out as we sing our theme song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And this is a good day. I think it is, the Bible tells us to honor our father and mother. And we want to do that. We want to honor our mothers. And it's certainly scriptural. And when I start thinking about, it just pauses me to think about what my mom has done for me and what my mother and my children is constantly doing, I realize, you know, we probably need to have one of these about once a month. But probably. Anyway, but we're so glad you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for being the author of every good gift in our lives, of every blessing, of every experience of tender compassion, the very beginning of our lives. Lord, that you've known us and you've directed us, you've watched over us, and your kindness and love toward us has not been on the basis of our merit or our goodness. For we truly cannot point to anything in our lives that would merit all that you have done for us. In fact, we can look at all the things that we've done against you. And Lord, we see that, and we see a mirror and reflection in the love that our mothers have had for us, and that they loved us when we were unlovely, when we were ungrateful and unkind. And so, Father, we give you thanks that you would do this for us. And Father, we lift up our hearts towards you because you are the God who is taking care of us today and has our future and our plan for all of eternity laid out in your good pleasure to show forth your kindness to us throughout all ages through Jesus Christ. And so it's because of his sacrifice, because of your Son, and because we can confess him as our Lord by the Spirit of God, that we are able to praise you today. And so, Father, we just ask that you would take every part of this service, that you would cause every heart to be in submission to you and to your authoritative word. And Lord, may we come from this place rejoicing in who you are and what you have done for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. definitely want to extend Happy Mother's Day. We have a special gift for you if you are a mother here today. And we have a vase with some flowers, so you can take the whole vase and the flowers there. Just a little warning, we did fill up the water pretty high so that the small little flowers in there would not die on you before today. So if you want to, either get out in the parking lot before you get in your car, or if you want to dump some of that water out, that's just my suggestion. I don't want our blessing to you to be a curse when you get in your car and it starts spilling around. But also, in addition to that, we have some chocolates as well. So each mother here, Lord willing, will have enough to give out to each one. Those will be in the back as well. The flowers are on the table for you when you leave. So I'll try to remind you of that as we close this service. Just want to go through a couple announcements here. We'll be looking forward. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have our high school graduation reception for those who are graduating. We have several from high school with Cassandra and Naomi, and then also Samantha is graduating, has graduated from college. So we're excited about that. So we'll have a brief reception after the service, a plan to stay around and enjoy that time together. Just looking ahead, not this week, but a week after, Seeking the Summit Fellowship will be here at the church on Tuesday at its normal time. If you'll just bring $5 for that, that'll help cover some of the cost for the food. I appreciate that. Also, want you to be aware that we have Good Old Days. It's coming around. The parade is on Friday in May, but then the very first day, Saturday, is the actual time that we have to do the booth. And so the Davises are going to be off on another mission, and so they're not going to be able to be with us. So it's going to give us an opportunity to step up to the plate and fulfill the opportunity we have. So that will be from 8 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. So if you can help us on that day to come at the booth, be a helper with somebody else to give out gospel literatures, to go out on the highways and hedges and to compel them to come to the Lord Jesus. So it's a great opportunity. You'll see the need that we have in our town and the surrounding region. And so I encourage you to go to the back lobby, sign up while there's still blanks there. We also have work on a parade float. So if you would like to help with that, we're going to be working on that in the weeks to come. And Angela Coburnett is working on making some decorations for BVS and for that float. So if you'd like to be a help and just putting in some time, you can contact her, and that will be a big blessing. Our missionary family of the week is the Tillmans. So they're in Thailand and Mongolia. They're just praising the Lord. They had, in their last letter, had requested to be able to have a vehicle, and they were able to get enough funds in to purchase that vehicle. And I think that's the first vehicle they've had that they purchased over there, if I understand that correctly. So that was going to be a real blessing to them and their ministry. They were asking prayer for a specific church that needed a pastor, and they were able to get a national to take that role. So that's really encouraging on that side. And they're just asking prayer in this upcoming month. They have a very large summer outreach with hundreds and hundreds of children, and the great way that they've been out year after year to be able to reach into that in Mongolia. So just be in prayer for them this week. And our family of the week is, I don't actually have both of them.
Oh, I look ahead, sorry.
The drum roll, please. Da-dum. Oh, Sierra Pearson. So Sierra, would you like to stand for us? Is there anything we can pray for you about? Okay, all right. We'll definitely join you in that burden and pray for them as well. So you're singing well. We'll continue to do that together and worship and praise the Lord.
All right, take your hymnals again and turn to page 130 if you're able to. Again, please stand as we sing, and then remain standing for the reading of God's Word. The love of God. The first verse talks about the fact that He gave His Son, that He loved us so that He gave His Son to die for us, that we could be reconciled and pardoned from sin. The love of God, how great and rich and pure.
To the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you would, open to Psalm 127 this morning, today's Bible reading. Psalm 127. Where it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." All right, may God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And at this time, let's take a few moments in individual prayer of seats before this God.
At this time, we're going to take our regular scheduled offering, in which we render service and worship to the Lord through our tithes and offerings to Him. I'd like to ask Brother Doug Eden if he wouldn't mind praying for our offering here this morning.
Thank you.
Take hymns again, turn over to page 603, sing Obedience. This song talks about obeying God in mind, body, soul, and by doing so we experience joy. So let's sing out on 603, Obedience. Okay, how many of you kids all know this song? Y'all know it? Okay, we're going to let you guys sing the chorus. You guys are the kids will be the only ones singing the chorus. Okay, so sing out loud. All right, here we go, second verse. All right, here we go. We want to live pure. We want to live clean. We want to do our best. Sweetly submitting to job. Appreciate you doing that. All right, 553 is our last song. 553. Bless our home. You know, strong family. What America needs today is strong family unit, and we need God to be the center of those homes. And so this song talks about that. Lord, bless our home. Each other.
At this time, all the kids that are prepared to sing can come forward. Okay, praise the Lord. for our children and for the message of that song. It is true. Everyone has a purpose and a plan because they are formed by God's plan and creation. He knows the end from the beginning. And praise the Lord that these young people have a purpose in God's plan. And as parents, as a church, we want to help them to accomplish that to God's glory. We'll go ahead and dismiss the children at this time to Children's Church. And we'll take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Wait for the pitter-patter of feet to die away. Very precious. They say that the most calls, telephone calls, are made on this day, Mother's Day. And I've also heard that, I saw it on the internet, so it's got to be true. It's the busiest day for restaurants. So how many of you going to a restaurant right after the service here today? Okay, I need to get this thing done in a timely manner here. You know what? Today is said to be the lowest amount of crime across the country. Evidently, moms are too busy spending time with their families to go on their regular crime sprees. So, we love our moms, and I feel incredibly blessed to have a mom who knew the Lord and raised me to know the Lord from a young age, and that is a tremendous gift. And some may not remember their moms or know their moms or have a good relationship with them, and yet God tells us in that place that He can be our sufficiency. Where someone else fails us, that He can raise up and take us up. And I praise the Lord for our great God, because anything we've experienced on this life that is good, it's only come from His good hand. He is the source of all love and all goodness in our lives. You know, moms are really known for many things. They're known for their cooking. You know, they've always seemed to have some special dish. That was my mom's mom. She had things that only she could make. And in fact, she didn't really want to make a cookbook. She was hesitant to put all of her recipes into a cookbook and hand it to her daughters, because then they wouldn't need her as much. So that was a tender moment, but there was many, many dishes that she really made. And there's something about it. You know that mom or your grandmother can make something, and they just have that special ingredient that seems to set other recipes apart. Well, I want us to point to this one needful thing, a special ingredient that is needed in the life of every mother. And really, it's needed in the life of every person. And so we can all really gain and understand. But this is a story that revolves two women. And I think Jesus ministered, I believe this passage is meant to minister to women in a special way. And Jesus was actively involved. He noticed others that would be ignored. And Jesus recognized and acknowledged the women that were around Him in His life. And so as we come to Luke chapter 10, you may know this story well. You may have never heard this story before, but it carries with it a great and beautiful truth. Begin reading in verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your grace in our lives. Lord, where would we be apart from You? Where would we end up we did not have You to intervene and to step in? And so, Father, we would ask humbly
not on the basis of any merit, but on the basis of your kind heart and your graciousness towards us, that you would open this passage to us, that you would open our eyes that we might see, and open our hearts that we might receive within this precious truth, so that it becomes a principle that dictates our daily lives. Father, would you do this special work and help us to seek that one needful thing? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a beautiful short story, and I want us to see that there is a context, first of all, to this story. That not everything in the Bible doesn't just drop in and out of nowhere, but there's always something before it and something around it. And when you have a big book like Luke, there's a lot of things that are going on. And when we read the very opening verse, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." We could look at the references, but we won't this morning. But Jesus is on a journey, and that's what it's talking about. As they went, they were going from place to place, and Jesus was on a journey to Jerusalem. He had a destination that he was heading to. In fact, in this book, we know that there's what's called a travel narrative from chapter 9 all the way through 19. Jesus is on the move. Story after story is punctuated, just like this one, that he was on the go to a place in which he was going to be rejected and he was going to die. This helps us understand that all of Jesus' teaching should be seen in light of where he was heading, to the cross. Yeah. And so Jesus along the way was teaching the kingdom of God. He wanted people to respond and to receive this message that he was going to exemplify and demonstrate before them, that God had made a way of salvation for man and that he himself was the way, the truth, and the life, and that all men can come to the Father through Jesus Christ. And so this story is related to this. And we see it in part of it in terms of the reception that's found in this verse. So he's on the way, but he needs people to help him, people to receive him. And there was this godly woman named Martha. And it says that she received him here in verse 38 into her house. Now, if you understand the context, if you go back to chapter 9 and look at the beginning of chapter 10, in chapter 9, Jesus just sent out his 12 disciples to go around preaching the message of the gospel. When they came back, he got 70 men going out in groups of two. So 35 groups went out and canvassed throughout Israel, and they were preaching about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the Messiah. And he gave them instructions. He says, "Into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you." And he talks about that if they don't receive you, then you shake off the dust off your sandals and say, "The kingdom of God has come nigh to you." You had a chance to submit to the rule and authority of God, but you would not receive the message. We see in terms of this response, not only commissioning the disciples here, traveling and entering was a big part of this. They would go to a certain village or town, and people would receive them in their house. That's exactly what happens here. Jesus now, traveling and entering, comes to a village. He's to be received. And so what does that... And we find within this house, people are listening and hearing the words of Jesus. That is the very thing that he was calling for throughout this gospel. Chapter 10, verse 16, he says, "He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him who sent me." So Jesus is sent from his Father. He's commissioning these disciples. And what needed to be happening, the response to the gospel, is that you need to hear. Yeah. Now, everyone in this room is going to hear, unless we're hearing impaired in that aspect. We're all going to hear, but this hearing is beyond just the listening, but the careful attention that receives the word that's given. And we find that that's what Mary is doing, I believe, in this passage as well. And he says in chapter 10, verse 24, just earlier in this passage, he says, many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which ye hear and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So what is all the significance of all this? There's the traveling, the entering, the village, receiving, the hearing. Martha receives Jesus and pictures a positive reception of Jesus in the gospel. Martha is seen as a good example of what people were supposed to do when the kingdom of God came. But within this story, we find, because Mary and Martha are sisters, and they're both involved, but since Martha is mentioned, she probably was the older sister. She was probably the one in charge, and we don't know where their parents would have been. They probably obviously were grown, so maybe their parents weren't there, sisters, and we know that from John that Lazarus, well, her brother lived there as well. So here's the three people in the family, and Martha was probably in charge, but Mary and no doubt Lazarus helped, and we're going to see that as the case here in just a moment. And so they were all serving and bringing in Jesus. And so there's this positive reception, but there is a contrast even within those that received the message of the gospel. There's a contrast between the two sisters, and the first one talks about Mary. And Mary here is seen as being dedicated to God's word. It says that she has a certain posture. I would call that this is showing forth the position of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is someone who has humility. When you talk about sitting at the feet, we think the head's at the top and the feet are at the bottom, right? That's pretty clear in terms of our anatomy. So she is sitting down. She is down low in a position where Jesus is probably seated, as was the custom in his teaching, and yet she is seated on the floor. She's down there at his feet. She has a humble reception to what he's talking about. You know what? If we want to get close to God, if we want to draw near to him, this is an absolute essential in our lives, that we have to humble ourselves. You know, the presence of God is not a comfortable place for everyone. It's a place that many people want to run away from. They don't want God to speak to them. They don't want to enter into his presence. They're afraid of what he will say. But if we will get in a posture that sits down at his feet and humbles ourselves before God, there is no sweeter place than in the presence of Jesus Christ. Not only was she humbled, but she was submissive. There's a reception to what he's saying. Whatever he says, I'm willing to do and obey. Not only we see the position of a disciple, but we see that she was, in verse 39, she also sat at his feet and heard his word. We just talked about how that's exactly what Jesus Christ wanted as he was going around preaching the gospel. In John 6:47, at the end of his message, it's on the Sermon on the Plain, very, very powerful message from Jesus. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom what he's like." And he begins to compare the wise and the foolish, the one who's built upon a rock and the one who's built upon the sand. At the climax, a response to the message of the gospel is this call to hear. In Luke chapter 8, when he's talking about the parable of the good seed, he cried out and said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." One lady said, in terms of when Jesus was passing by, she said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." And he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." In fact, do you want to be the mother of Jesus today? He said, "My mother and my brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it." Yeah. This is first base. This is the foundation building block. Listening to Jesus Christ. What does he teach? What does he say? Respond, receive it. and you believe on Jesus Christ and His sayings, and you will have eternal life. It really is that simple. Because He points to Himself and His own cross as the payment for your sins. So that if you'll believe on Him, you'll have salvation through His name. And so Mary is seen here at the pinnacle of everything that Jesus was calling for. Someone who would listen to Him and sit in a posture of submission and obedience to Him. But what about the contrast? We find Martha, that she was distracted from the Word. Mary was dedicated to the Word, but Martha was distracted from the Word. It says here that she was cumbered about much serving. Now we have to get an understanding of this idea of serving. Serving, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a really good thing. How many people want to serve? Oh, everybody would love to be served. In fact, that's what we value in mothers so much, is that they spend their lives not looking for accolades, but pouring their lives into other people, thanklessly, often thoughtlessly in terms of the others and what's going on, and yet she's serving, serving, and serving. And it's a beautiful and glorious thing. Interesting, after the healing that Jesus gives to Simon's mother-in-law, it says that immediately she rose and ministered unto them. And there's a picture in that that's what God wants to accomplish in every life. When He brings a resurrection, salvation into the life, it produces a life of service towards Him and towards others. In fact, Jesus lived off the goodwill of many women who served Him. Luke chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, it says that there was a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, so I think this is a different Mary, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto Him of their substance. Same word. They were serving Jesus Christ. His ministry was literally being enabled and helped by God's providence through ladies who heard the message and wanted to help and serve. Martha is in their company. In fact, Jesus would come to the conclusion as He's about ready to go before the cross and define the cross in terms of servitude. And He would say, "He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve." So God's call for us as God's people and for mothers is to serve the Lord. The woman who washed and anointed Jesus' feet, I forgot about that example. She was taking up the role of a servant by wiping His feet. You can look toward the New Testament, and interesting examples of servants are Phoebe. In Romans 16:1, we don't know much about her, but we know that she is described, He says, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Oh, I praise the Lord that we've got many Phoebes around this church who have a servant's heart and minister. And if we have anything going on, they're going to be the first ones there engaging and doing the most menial tasks, so that the work of God can be accomplished and our fellowship and our enjoyment can go forward. Also, Priscilla is mentioned as a servant. Lydia in Acts 16. And I believe even Mary herself was a servant as well. How do we know this? She says that in her words, Martha tells us in verse 40, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me?" So she was serving right alongside of her sister all through this process. So she had a servant's heart. So what I'm trying to say is, we're not trying to denigrate this, and I don't want to get to the place where we're bashing on Martha. And no offense, Martha. Martha was a godly woman. She was serving the Lord. And we would say, in some ways, with all of her heart in what she was doing. But she had gotten something out of kilter. It says that she was cumbered about much suffering. This idea of cumbered is the idea that she was pulled away, almost like she's being dragged away. What does this let us know about Martha? She wanted to hear the word of God. She wanted to be in there. She had a desire, but there was so much that needed to be done that it was getting in the way, and if she didn't do it, no one was going to get it done. And so she was dragged away. She was pulled away with much serving. Oh, you probably ladies know the meaning of much serving much better than I do. When you've got five dishes going around and you're taking care of people's needs and your husband's calling for a glass of water and you've got everything's happening around you and the kids are, they broke this and you're not thinking one iota, one jot about yourself. You are serving everyone else around you. Praise the Lord for that. But this aspect here that she had come to a place, but there's something that the serving had come to a place where it had taken over her life. And we find out by her words here something very important. We will, if you'll read the Gospel of Luke, you're going to find multiple occasions where Jesus is sitting down to meet, to eat. And this seems to be an occasion where she was probably fixing food and making sure, how would you like to have 13 people at least show up at your door, huh? And you got to provide a meal for them, and you're used to cooking for three? That probably was a big ordeal. Lots of extra things. Got to go to the market, and probably didn't have a refrigerator, all right, in her kitchen. So she's got a lot of things that has to be done. You can put yourself in her shoes. And I've already mentioned John chapter 12 and how we know that Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they're in Bethany, not far away from Jerusalem. They were good friends. Jesus often went there many times. But we find in the contrast here that she was not listening to Jesus' words. In fact, she's telling Jesus what he should say. Uh-oh. And I didn't finish my thought there. You read through the Gospel of Luke, you're going to find many places where Jesus is sitting down to eat. Oftentimes in those stories, it is the people in their conversation around the table that opens up what is going on in that story. And I believe that is very much the case of what's taking place right here. So let's look at her words. Her first word out of her mouth is, Lord. She got it right? Does she have the right understanding of who Jesus is? Yes. She calls him Lord. That's an element of submission to him. But in that moment of submission, she does not respond to the Lord the way she ought to. She's trying to get Jesus to help her get what she wants. And in what you can see, and you can kind of detect this. I hope I'm not reading this in. Excuse me. My apologies. Can you detect a hint of frustration here in Martha's voice? Lord, dost thou not care? It makes me think of one other time I remember that statement. The disciples said, carest thou not that we perish? You know what? I don't think we'll ever be right if we question whether God cares about us. We're always going to be assuming the wrong thing. Because, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. But she's calling him Lord, and yet she's treating him like he's her servant. Their perspective has gotten all cattywampus here, and her life now is filled with frustration. Lord, it's not going the way it's supposed to. Lord, please, would you get this thing situated? Father, would you please answer my prayer? God, I need you to do this for me. Do you have frustration in your life? Have frustration with your children? Frustration with your husband? Frustration with financial situation? There's many things that we can get frustrated about, but oftentimes frustration is an indication that we are not filled with faith and trust, but that we are filled with the desire to make life happen the way I want it to happen. That's not sitting at Jesus' feet. That's asking God to do what I want him to do. Now we see her perspective on Mary. That my sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, to help me. Her perspective is she is focused on what her sister stopped doing rather than what she was doing at the moment. So does she mention the fact that she's hearing God's word? Does she focus on the fact that this is a good thing of what Mary is doing? No. She's focused on what she believes Mary should be doing. And so now she's filled with a critical spirit towards Mary. And so that can easily happen, where when our perspective gets wrong towards the Lord and we're not walking with Him, now the way we view other people, we can begin to start to focus on the negatives. Isn't that easy to do? Let me ask you, does everybody have some negatives? Yeah. You know, you have to get married to find that out, right? And that white, that shining armor prince, you know, the paint starts to rub off of the horse and start realizing it's an old gray mare. You know, everything start realizing, wait a second, this isn't exactly what I thought. This person's human. Yep, we're all human. And there's an aspect of we can begin to focus on the negatives of people rather than focusing on what was good. Because if she had focused on what was good, she might have realized what Jesus is going to call her attention to. And then we find, what was her perspective on herself? She said that she was all alone. My sister hath left me to serve alone. I'm all by myself. I think we might be able to call that self-pity. Another symptom of what can happen when we get our perspective off of the Lord and we begin to focus on the circumstances of this life. And life's not going the way we want it to go, and we get discouraged, and we begin to think about all the things that we're... And I mean, I don't know if she's necessarily giving a false report here. She's not necessarily telling a lie. But her perspective is focused on herself and herself alone. And so some of these things are very, very interesting as we see Martha's heart. So now we've seen the perspective, we've seen the contrast between them, but now let's come to the focal point. Let's come to the crux of the whole story. And that is found in Jesus' words. Oh, we learn a lot by looking at others' words, but we will be instructed in the truth when we listen to Jesus. And what we find here is Jesus says, Martha, Martha. A repeating or a double mentioning of someone's name was a tender address that was meant. Obviously, I think this would have been felt with emotion from Jesus. Did you know that Jesus loved Martha dearly? And I know that where you're going, and many of you understand where this is going in terms of this passage. But if you say, man, there I am. I've been a Martha Christian for a long time, and I keep falling back into this aspect of being a Martha. Don't be discouraged. No. Jesus loves you. Right. But He wants to instruct you, and He wants to help you. It's interesting. In the Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, I would have you without carefulness. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Jesus was accurate. He looked into her soul and he saw that she was disquieted, she was troubled, she was agitated, that she was filled with care and anxiety. And God's words towards us is, I don't want you to be filled with that care. You don't have to carry that load around. In fact, you may feel like, I just can't do this anymore. You get to that place of frustration, you feel that place of discouragement. The truth is, God doesn't want you to carry it. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You're His care. He's going to fuss over you. He's going to make sure your needs are met. Let Him do that. Cast your care upon Him. And he points out to this aspect that she is just filled with care. And you can see this, the serving and the task and the things that need to be done. Oh yes, none of those things that she was saying were wrong. It was just that she'd gotten something out of whack. The priority was off. And we find it found in the choice of the one. Verse 42. But one thing is needful. Can we say to everything else in life, it's nice, but it's not necessary. Yeah. Food cooked on time, that's nice, but it's not necessary. A bank account that gives us assurance and confidence for the future, it's nice, but it's not necessary. There's an element here that we find that there's one thing that's needful. What is that thing? It says, Mary hath chosen that good part, that good portion. You and I, and especially the ladies here, we must choose that good portion that Mary chose. What is that? I'd like to direct us, and I put it on the screen here so you don't have to necessarily turn, but you can if you like. It's in Psalm 73, verse 26 and 27. This word for part or portion is used quite frequently in the Old Testament. And you'll see it in blue there. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So the idea here is that of inheritance. That which a portion or a part would be that you get this part and you get this part and you get this part. There's been a dividing of the inheritance. And when God divided the inheritance to His people, God said to you, and He said, your part is Me. And the question is, how do we respond to that? Say, wait a second, this is the part that I really want. This is the inheritance. This is my dream scenario. And God's saying, this is the part that you ought to choose. Me, a relationship with Me. You see this in the words that are found here in this verse, verse 27. And lo, they that are far from Me shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from Thee. There's an aspect of distance going away from God. But it is good for Me to draw near to God. How do you make God your portion? You draw nigh to the Lord. You do exactly what Mary was doing, what she chose to do. She was serving, but she said, I can't miss this. I got to have the words of Jesus Christ. He is my portion. The Levites had no portion in Old Testament Israel because God was their portion. The inheritance of the land, I believe, was pointing to a portion and a part in God's eternal kingdom. I want to point out this aspect by looking at these words. He says that Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There are some things that are good, and there are some things that are eternal. This will never be taken from you. An eternal relationship with God supersedes all else. In a congregation this size, there may be someone here that does not know Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with Him. You don't have this eternal aspect. You may be able to point to all kinds of good things in your life that you've done. You may be a mother here, and you've done many good things for your family, your children, you're a good person. But if you do not prioritize a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son, come to God His way, on His terms, everything else is temporal. It's to be done away. there is only one thing that's eternal. I believe that God wants for the ladies of this church to prioritize the one needful thing. Oh, mothers, you're busy. Busy. Young mothers, very busy. It can be an element that there's just, you're woke up to things that has to be done. And it's one thing after the next, but make it a priority in your life as much as you possibly can. I'm not saying that God's going to come down with judgment upon you if you miss a day in your Bible reading, but make it such a priority in your heart and life that you say, this is the one needful thing. I must have my Lord. I must hear His words. I must have a relationship with Him. And as He says, He said He was your portion. He said He will be the strength of your heart. I believe you'll find the Lord helping you step by step to do all the things that you thought you couldn't do. Don't ever put aside prayer and Bible reading because you say, I'm too busy. Yeah. It's an easy thing to do. In serving the Lord, we can come so focused that we're not focused on the main thing. This relationship is found in the holy place where God is and where you hear God's word. Set aside time to get alone with God and to listen to His word. Read it. Have it read to you. But to hear God's word, this will give you the strength, the engine for a godly life. And you will have the relationship with Almighty God that's so needed. I've kind of given you this application here. Don't allow the busyness of the many to keep you from the one needful thing. Can I talk to husbands here, men, fathers? You are responsible for the spiritual life of your wife, of the women in your life. And what you need to do as a spiritual leader is find ways to help them focus on God's Word. You ought to be one who is helping them, leading them in the Word, bringing them to that. You know what? You ought to find out the things that distract her from hearing God's Word and deal with them. Time for us men to step up and exercise our leadership in such a way that says, all right, I'll take the kids. Mom needs some time. This is important. We need to find out a way. How can I encourage her? How can I help her? How can I congratulate her? How can I thank her for pursuing the Word of God? Find out the things that are keeping her from spending quiet time with God and eliminate them. And here's another thing in passing. Do not be a distraction to her by allowing things that are unforgiven in your relationship to build up. How many times someone goes to God and they're so overburdened by relationships? Let's keep things right so that we can help our wives to seek the Lord. We need to be an example and a testimony of this, of seeking the Lord. And it's always, I tell you, I've got a hard lady to keep up with and being an example to, because she's an example to me in many ways of her godly heart in these things. God will bless you. God is blessing you. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And yet, don't allow God's blessing to keep you from pursuing the Lord with all your heart. Seek the one needful thing. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God that's instructions, that tells us to forsake the good and to accept the best, to love Jesus Christ with all of our heart. I pray that You would bless all these godly young mothers here and these mothers of many years of experience and the wisdom that they have and the servants that we have in this church. Lord, may this be a day of encouragement to them. Father, I pray that You would just direct them in the path towards a relationship with You. And I pray, Father, I beg of You, if there's someone here today who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, oh, they may have had a testimony that they can't remember, but they don't have an ongoing relationship, that they would leave today in the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray all these things for His glory and His honor in His name. Amen.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to page 423 and stand, and let's sing about that, spending that time with God. 423, My Quiet Time.
Have a gift for you mothers here that we have. Don't forget to take a vase with some roses in it, as well as a chocolate. You can have one of those. We have a limited supply. I shouldn't say that to get a stampede going in terms of, I believe we should have enough there, but I say that to say refrain early on taking something for someone else for right now, so we make sure that we have enough for all that are here present. If you want to hang around till the very end, if there's some to give out to someone else, then we'll do that. But if you're here present, we'll try to make sure everyone has one of those. So, very neat. But Steve Fortenberry, would you mind closing us with a word of prayer?